In the early 1960s, President John F. Kennedy set the nation's sights on the moon. Half a century later, President Obama announced his moonshot to push science into the farthest reaches of the human brain.
You know, as humans, we can identify galaxies light years away. We can study particles smaller than an atom, but we still haven't unlocked the mystery of the 3 pounds of matter that sits between our ears.
And so the president committed an initial $100 million to a project called the Brain Initiative.
So there's this enormous mystery waiting to be unlocked. And the Brain Initiative will change that by giving scientists the tools they need to get a dynamic picture of the brain in action and better understand how we think and how we learn and how we remember.
Well, this week, we're featuring a series of reports called Brain Matters, reporting from the front lines of neuroscience. From the Here and Now Contributors Network, WBUR's Kerry Goldberg begins with an overview of what some say could be the beginning of a golden age of brain science.
You could call this the sound of your brain at work. It's neurons firing in rhythm, talking to each other. These neurons belong to a crab and make up a simple circuit that controls how the crab chews and digests its food. It's something like what your neurons do to control your breathing.
But imagine now an orchestra with billions of neurons firing in different patterns depending on what you were seeing, what you were hearing, what you were thinking, and what you were feeling. Those rhythms would be changing in a tremendous symphony.
That's neuroscientist Eve Marder in her Brandeis University lab. She says making sense of that incredible complexity will be a lot harder than JFK's moonshot.
Unlike putting a man on the moon, where you knew exactly what the goal was and where the problem was largely an engineering problem, understanding the brain is going to require the coordination of creativity across every scientific discipline that we know.
But even if we give it everything we've got, can the human brain ever understand itself? That's the monumental gamble of President Obama's Brain Initiative and other major neuroscience efforts now getting underway around the world. But they're not trying to solve philosophical questions. They're responding to the growing realization that brain disorders, from autism to mental illness to dementia, are a worldwide scourge. They affect at least 1 billion people, says Tom Insel, director of the National Institute of Mental Health.
The global cost from brain disorders is about $2.5 trillion and will go up more than double over the next 2 decades. So we have got to begin investing to make sure we don't incur those kinds of costs.
Neuroscientists have been studying the brain for more than a century. What's different now is that for the first time, researchers say we're beginning to map the brain's billions of neurons and trillions of connections. We're starting to see how groups of neurons interact. That was out of reach even just a few years ago, and it's what we need if we ever hope to understand how we have a thought or a memory or a mental illness.
This is an exciting time to be a neuroscientist. I'm not sure there's ever been a more exciting time.
That's Larry Swanson, president of the Society for Neuroscience, speaking at its annual conference of about 30,000 scientists.
Scientists are advancing the field in ways that we were only, actually couldn't even imagine, say, 5-10 years ago.
At the conference in San Diego, government science officials touted the importance of an array of new tools for analyzing the brain, like the Brainbow, a technique that uses genetics and a rainbow of gorgeous fluorescent colors to map neurons. There's Clarity, a new chemical treatment to make brain tissue transparent. And there's the Connectome, an evolving map of the trillions of pathways that connect neurons to each other.
We might be in a golden age of making such tools, because most fields of engineering have not been applied to the brain. And so there's just a gold rush of possibility.
That's neuroengineer Ed Boyden. When he was in grad school over a decade ago, he was told not to bother trying to develop better tools for illuminating how the brain works. It was just too complex. Boyden now leads neuroengineering at MIT, and he's the co-creator of one of the hottest of these new technologies.
Optogenetics allows us to activate or shut down cells in the brain with light. If we can turn on cells in the brain, we can figure out what kinds of behaviors or diseases they contribute to. And by shutting off neurons, we can figure out what they're necessary for.
For example, researchers found a small cluster of cells in the mouse brain that, when activated with laser light, caused the mouse to behave so aggressively that it even attacked a rubber glove. There's a host of other methods in the new brain toolbox: stem cells, computer science for big data, better brain imaging, and there's DNA.
This is absolutely hot off the press genetic information.
Robert Desimone directs the McGovern Institute for Brain Research at MIT.
We're talking about discoveries in just the last year or two. Genes for schizophrenia, bipolar disease, depression and so on, autism.
Desimone says the goal is to build a bridge from the gene to its effects on the brain to the disorder. Where might that bridge lead? Imagine I'm a psychiatrist of the future, and instead of just telling you that you have major depression, I say, we can turn some of your skin cells into specific brain cells, edit out the disease genes in those cells, and then implant them to fix your faulty circuit. For now, President Obama's Brain Initiative is developing tools to meet specific challenges. Last month, the Department of Defense announced a $30 million program based at Massachusetts General Hospital to try to build brain implants for veterans with post-traumatic stress and other disorders. One of the project's leaders, neurosurgeon Imad Eskandar, says the goal is a device about the size of a matchbox with electrodes that could detect patterns of pathological brain activity in real time.
When it detects those patterns, it then delivers stimulation to try and remedy that pattern of activity and restore it to something more normal. That's the basic idea.
Some neuroscientists point out that Obama's $100 million actually isn't very much, but it's a start. And it further reinforces the sense that we're at the dawn of a new era of the brain. Brain implants are just the beginning, Imad Eskandar says.
We're literally on the cusp of a complete revolution in both how we understand the brain and how we treat brain disorders.
So if we can fix brain disorders with implants, can normal brains be made better? Eskandar says at this point, that's just not the priority.
You know, we're really just trying to help the people who are suffering the most. It's not just the people, it's their families, it's their communities. These kind of disorders don't affect people in isolation. So that's really what this is all about.
For Here and Now, I'm Carrie Goldberg.
And tomorrow, we'll take a look at how advances in brain imaging technology may help predict learning disorders like dyslexia even before children learn how to read.
Maybe the most surprising aspect of the research so far is how clear a signal we see in the brains of children who are likely to go on to be poor readers.